Last night we saw a film about the wisdom of trauma. This morning we'll return to Ramana's work, which is to take us through the trauma of wisdom. And as every yogi knows, to return to wisdom is traumatic. Trauma is a cut. You can cut from the real self and become an ego, and that creates trauma. And then the ego will have subsequent traumas, being cut from a sense of well-being and love and containment. But the trauma of cutting from the false self to return to the real self, which must be a voluntary, self-inflicted trauma, requires far more courage to go through than simply the courage of uncovering the karmic validity of the trauma of the fall into the ego and into body consciousness. But to have the willingness to cut the illusion of identification as a body is the mark of the soul who has love for truth, for God, for one's eternal nature, that overcomes the fear of the nothingness that comes from separation from the known, from the body, from the history, from the signifiers, the comfort zone of the jouissance of the ego, to return into the emptiness of pure spirit, until one traverses the unknown and returns to the fullness of the God Self. So, in number 57, in Thus Spake Ramana, he says, what is body consciousness? It is the insentient body plus consciousness. Both of these must lie in another consciousness, which is absolute and unaffected, and ever abiding, with or without body consciousness. So, for Ramana, body consciousness is simply the consciousness, the chit, plus the body. But for an ego, there's an identification as if you are simply a talking body, because you have lost the perspective that you are originally consciousness, and you have added to that consciousness a vehicle. So it's not a plus for the agyani. It's a minus. It's a contraction. It's a loss of a sense of security and of essence that then is compensated for by clutching onto the security that the body can offer. So it's that jada granti, the knot to the insentient, the knot of attachment, the knot of desire, the knot of the fear of death, beginning with the death of the ego, that must be untied to return to pure consciousness and liberation. But what Ramana is saying is that the consciousness of the ego that is contracted and tied to the body is already contained in another consciousness, the Atman, which is absolute and unaffected and ever abiding and does not change whether there is a living body that one is attached to or there is no body. no difference, no change. And it's this absolute consciousness that is always there that must be returned to. And when we recognize that it's not only always there, but it's who we are, then there is no longer trauma in the return. So, he says, what does it matter whether the body consciousness is lost or retained, provided one is holding on to the pure consciousness? So the key to being free from all trauma is to hold on to the realization that you are the pure consciousness that was never born, never identified with a body, never had a mother, never had a father in the physical form, never had an attachment to matter, because matter is only an appearance in consciousness. That's the purity. And Ramana says, it makes no difference in the knowledge of the Supreme. So if you are holding on to pure consciousness, it doesn't matter if there have been traumas to the body consciousness. It doesn't matter what condition your mind is in. It doesn't matter how much fear, how much suffering, how much confusion, how much self-attacking is happening within the ego. The pure consciousness is free of all that already. You don't need to struggle to change your self-image. You simply have to return to the imageless consciousness that is already pure and one with the Supreme Self. So, Ramana says in the next teaching, why should you bear your load on the head when you're traveling in a train? It carries you and your load, whether the load is on your head or on the floor of the train. You aren't lessening the burden of the train by keeping it on your head, but only straining yourself unnecessarily. Similar is the result of your sense of doership in the world. This is, I think, the most important point to get. It's not simply that, as the Taoists say, we want to go to a state of wu-wei, non-doing, and then I am not acting. It's the realization that you're not an actor, whether you're acting or not acting. You are not a doer. The train is moving, the train of time and space, the train that is the cosmos. It's already even arrived at its station because time is an illusion. And you are no one separate from the train. The train is empty. And there is no burden to carry. That's an illusion because there is no individual carrier, no doer, therefore no sufferer. It's the elimination of the illusion that you're a someone in a train going through time that creates the feeling that you have to do something, that you have to make a decision. You have to carry that weight of your karma. You have to resolve some trauma, some problem. But none of that is real. Drop the sense of being a doer. Consciousness does nothing. It's simply pure awareness. And in that realization, then everything is effortless and perfect and beautiful. So Ramana goes on, regarding the significance of the name Rama, which is one of the names of God that is used in India. He says, take this totally metaphorically and linguistically. The Ra stands for the self, the Ma for the ego. As you go on repeating the mantra, Rama, 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 the Ma will disappear, getting merged in the Ra, until the Ra alone remains. In that state, there is no conscious effort at dhyana or meditation. But it is there because meditation is our real nature. So you don't need to repeat the mantra. That's like being on the train and carrying the load. The mantra itself will disappear into the self that is repeating it. And then the realization that all along you have been the silent presence that is Rama. And there is no need to invoke Rama. And there is no separation from Rama. But Rama is silence and not a word that needs to be spoken. So Ramana says, you want to know the past. You want to know what you were in other lifetimes and what you will be in future lives. But you don't know the present. And yet you exist now, but you don't go into the now. Both yesterday and tomorrow are only with reference to today. Yesterday was called today in its time, and tomorrow will be called today by you tomorrow. But today is ever present, and what is ever present is the only pure reality, and it has no past or future. So why not try to find out the real nature of the present and the ever-present truth of your being? So Ramana says the ego mind is concerned with running away from itself in nostalgia for a past that is non-existent and in worry about a future that is non-existent. And it abides everywhere but in the present. And the present is all that is real. And in the present, you're no one. Because the creation of the illusion of being a someone requires moving through the illusion of time and creating a chain of events, signifiers, memories that build an illusion of being a someone. But in the moment of the present, you are no one. You're pure awareness. And that pure awareness, although it is no one particular, it is universal being that is all-containing, all-pervading, and all-transcending, and ever-blissful, and ever-present, and never-absent. Never does it go through death, or birth, or change. So why not be yourself now? Because now is the only time you can be yourself. And through the now, which is the eye of the needle, you return to eternity. You won't do it in the future. And you can't do it from the past. You can only do it in the very instant of now. May we all choose now to realize our eternal being and be liberated from the delusion of birth and death, of pain and suffering and fear, of all the mental delusions of the ego, of all its illusory traumas, and of all the separation from Satchitananda that is suffered for no reason at all, except for having forgotten our divine nature. And it can only be remembered now. May we choose liberation.